Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Mezuz Hashem, Shia for Women, Shir number 34. In the Gemara, it says that a saying as follows: my governess told me that if you raise a child with warm baths and fragrant oils, as he grows, he will demand delicacies. And when he grows older, he will break things to satisfy his anger. What the Gemara is trying to tell us is, you know, in those days, there were no hot water heaters in those days. And heating water for a bath was difficult work. And mothers who pampered their children and provided them with those warm baths and rub downs with fragrant oils will expect that when the child grows older, you know, they won't be satisfied with simple foods and simple things. As they grow older, their desires will not be met and they'll be frustrated with it. That's what the Gemara said in their wisdom over 2,000 years ago. Now we're in the 20th century, 21st century, and permissiveness is the main theory of chinuch, not discipline. We're not talking about harsh discipline, we're talking about gentle discipline, but there needs to be a discipline. And the lack of discipline creates a tremendous damage to children. The Stipler used to say that when we were children, the apple, a simple apple, was a delicacy. Candy was a rarity. And when we did receive a new garment, we were in tremendous simcha. We learned to appreciate whatever food and clothes we have. And we didn't think the world owes us pleasure. Today, our children, and maybe some of us adults too, expect too much. And when the expectations are not met, the feelings of deprivation causes them to become angry, frustrated, even rebellious. So we get pleasure from giving our children things they enjoy or giving ourselves what we enjoy, but we need to raise them and also be mechanech ourselves to live in a world where many of our desires will be frustrated and have a karsa type to what we do have. And when we give them abundant love, doesn't mean we indulge them. And as adults, we don't indulge ourselves either. We need to have that healthy balance. So that's one lesson that's brought down in Wisdom Each Day by Rabbi Twersky. Another one is that when you work through anger, one has to be very careful to work through it and remove it from your heart, even when you have to express it sometimes. You know, we see when you bake matzahs, let's say Erev Pesach especially, every drop of dough could become chametz, and people circulate and among the workers, and very, very careful. The Vision Yetzer Rebbe noticed one of the supervisors yelling angrily at one of the workers who was appearing to be negligent. And the Vision Yetzer Rav told him, it's true that even the tiniest bit of chametz is usser, but the tiniest bit of anger is even a more serious chait than a tiny bit of chametz. And if you have to give musr to somebody, do it with sensitivity, do it with a soft voice, not in anger. That's called, in the Masilas Yesharim's Lashon, kasa panim v'loy kasa lev. You know, if you have to show a stern face outwardly, but not inwardly, and even outwardly, one has to be careful and not always do that. Now, about what we said earlier about the indulging in pleasures and not being happy with the basics of life and wanting more and more, we have this problem in our society where everyone has that need to outdo their neighbor. Used to be an expression of keeping up with the Joneses. And that causes a lot of anxiety. In Kaheles, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet, it talks about it, how a person wants to outdo their neighbor, which is a hevel or a usruach. It's a futility. It hurts the neshama. Rav Twersky said that he repeatedly emphasized the destructive nature of how low self-esteem could cause so much damage. And people that have unwarranted feelings of inferiority may seek to prove their worthiness or their competence by trying to outdo others. And that's destructive. That's destructive. That lack of success will be disappointing, but it'll also be a threat to one's ego. And it doesn't solve the problem, because a person can compensate only for a deficiency that exists in reality. Like when a blind person is blind, so Hashem creates a system where they develop a more acute sense of hearing and touch to compensate for that loss of vision. That works, but you can't compensate by having more. You can't compensate for deficiencies that exist only in one's imagination. So if you're trying to prove yourself and your worth by outdoing others, it's never going to fill that void. And you'll always have that unwarranted feeling of inferiority. It will not be relieved by your success. So that's another important lesson that he brings. A fourth important lesson, he brings that a Talmud of Rav Zalman Meltzer invited a tzaddik to his son's bar mitzvah. It was an invitation, but he didn't expect that this person would attend. He invited Zalman Meltzer, but he didn't expect him to attend. The student was overwhelmed when, in the middle of the Suda, Rav Zalman Meltzer came to his simcha, to his son's bar mitzvah, climbed up four flights of stairs to get there. And he explained, I had to repay you because of a debt of gratitude. When you told me your son was to be bar mitzvah, it occurred to me that it was just yesterday that you invited me to the bris. And 13 years have flown so rapidly. And I asked myself, what did I accomplish in these 13 years? And I made a cheshbon ha-nefesh. And because you inspired me to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, I felt I was indebted to acknowledge your favor by attending your bar mitzvah. So it was such an indirect thing, and nevertheless, he felt that it was so important to have that hakaras hatayv. So the idea of not running after luxuries and not getting spoiled by it, the idea of not showing anger outwardly and even inwardly and even outwardly, to be careful with it, the idea of not running after trying to outdo your neighbor in order to feel better about yourself, and the idea of Hakaras HaTayv. Those are the four lessons we learned thus far. Another lesson, you know, in the Jewish press, there was a wise person that used to give these articles. Morris Mandel, his name was. He had an office in Yerushalayim. Very wise person. He co-authored a book with somebody else called Tomorrow is Today. So I just want to end off this share talking about that concept that people have. See, more than 90% of people are enduring the present. They're not living in the present. They're enduring in the present while waiting for the future. They're waiting for their children to grow up. They're waiting for their children to get married. They're waiting to save money that ultimately they'll buy a house. Or they're waiting for the right time to take a trip. Or they're waiting to retire. Or they're waiting for more leisure time. They're always waiting for tomorrow, waiting for the next year, waiting for something exciting to happen. And what we need to reshift our focus is to focus on today. Do you open your eyes this morning? Baruch Hashem, you open your eyes. You give us a gift of enjoying a new, fresh beginning. Every day you open your eyes, you see a new world. You make the world anew. It's your world. Know its true value. Grab on to every moment of it. This is a good opportunity, by the way, when we're disappointed about the past, or we're burdened by past, or we're burdened, we're upset at even the mistakes we made just yesterday. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. And it makes no difference how old you are. You know, you, Baruch Hashem, you're able to function, and you ask Hashem for help, but you thank Hashem for the past. Today is here, and time is more precious than money, and we need to be wise and not to waste time. You don't throw money away, you don't throw time away. Today is here. Today you're born anew. Stop thinking of what you would do if things were only different, if you were better looking, or if you were in a better position. Things are not different. They are the way they are. This is an environment in which we live. This is where Hashem put us. We have our own distinctive tools to fashion our own lives based on what we are given today. You know, this is sometimes a hard lesson to absorb. A lot of it is based on the idea of getting rid of unhealthy jealousies. It is not easy. Part of the yearning of being someone else or having what someone else has is not accepting the reality of what Hashem tailor-made for you is what's for you. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking Hashem to give you more. To ask Hashem to give you more parnasa, to give you a bigger apartment, to help you with all these things. But not on the assumption or on the premise because the other person has it and it bothers you. Let them have whatever they have, gesunte heit. You know, you're happy that other people have their money. I just need it for me to live. Please provide me what I need. That you could ask for. Harchech pichav amaleu. Who else do you turn to? He's the address. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the address. So that is a healthy thing. It's just the jealousy of it is the problem. It's the overall kinna that's the problem. So that is an idea of utilizing time the right way, because time is precious. And you ask Hashem for long life, but ask Hashem together with that long life, help me utilize the time properly. Help me try to do the best with what I have, with the potential that I have, with the neshama that you give me every single day. Every tefillah is a beautiful thing. Every connection to Hashem is a beautiful thing. Every moment is precious. Don't get discouraged by mistakes of the past or limitations. But today, do the best what you can with today. Bracha v'hatzlacha to all.